Martin Keaveney Creative Writing. Creative Writing, Intermediate by Remote. Week 5. Presented by Martin Keaveney.
Good evening, and you're all very welcome to Week 5 of your Creative Writing Intermediate Remote course. So this is an audio recording of the tutorial section of the course prepared for those of you who cannot attend the live video conference or would like to also listen to this podcast along with it. You will already have received an email containing the PowerPoint presentation package, which contains all of the slides that we're discussing over the next while or so. So what I would like you to do now is check your email if you haven't already done so and download the file named Week 5, which I've sent you. And pause the audio while you do this if you like. Okay, so you should now be looking at the first slide in the presentation. You'll see the date and title, The World, and an image of people in an activity which often would be written in non-fiction, which is what we're discussing tonight. Just to remind you, if you have any questions about any aspect of the course, don't hesitate to email me at info@martinkeaveney.com. Okay. Let's click on now to slide 2. Yes, so tonight we're talking about non-fiction as our genre focus, and we'll also spend a little time today talking about the subject of pace in writing. So let's go on to slide 3 now. Yeah, I'm not a writer of non-fiction as such. I actually write reviews and academic articles. I suppose you could argue, if you wanted, that that was non-fiction. But what we're talking about here is the type of non-fiction that is essentially creative. Creative non-fiction is the title often given to it. In effect, I would argue that there is no real such thing as non-fiction, because to me, everything is fictionalized once you write it. However, publishers today understand what we are going to talk about as non-fiction. So let's have a look at what some scholars and writers say about it. I have here a chapter on nonfiction by Wendy Bishop and David Starkey, who make a few potential guidelines. They say the foundations of good writing emerges from personal experience, hence the need for a real life as a kind of repository for the work that you're going to do. In nonfiction, a reflection relates to a writer's feelings and responses about a subject. There is a significant quantity of research in nonfiction, as we said the other week about memoir. And if you're writing about, for example, your boat building hobby, you might want to have quite a lot of knowledge, I would argue, in the field. One needs to be knowledgeable enough to ask the questions. And so if you don't have a minimal understanding, but I would actually say you'd need quite a good competent understanding of your subject, because if you don't have a very good understanding of your subject, your reader is going to lose faith in the authority and your authority to write about it. So as I've often said, there's a serious need of reading in the field, as they also discuss. Now, they also discuss the personal essay. So the personal essay is often conversational, ironic, humorous, even cheeky in tone. So writing somewhat informally, in a way that you're telling the reader as if you were talking directly to them. This does not mean that you write realistically with the ums and ahs. It means that you still write very clearly and very succinctly, but you do not use sophisticated language where it can be avoided. So you speak across to the reader as though they are on the same level as you. It is not an academic text. You're not the teacher and your reader the pupil. This is more of a kind of a peer kind of discussion. However, you are the informed person in the subject that you're talking about. Now, these just to go through some of the points they make. It values honesty and confession. Self-disclosure is a necessary component of the genre. So here you're telling the reader about yourself, and this promotes engagement because they feel they are getting to know you better. It has a taste for littleness, dwelling on the often ignored minutiae of daily life, while at the same time it expands the importance. So it is down to earth. It's almost like you were meeting someone in the local pub and they are telling you about their hobby in a written form. It goes against the grain of popular opinion. So sometimes it provides a differencing view as to what might be the norm now. So as I've said in the live class, well, you might have a different way of making that soda bread. You might have a different way of fixing that boat that maybe is not in any guidebook. So this is kind of what it means by going against the grain of popular opinion. So just it wrestles then with the stench of ego, trying to reveal the writer's true self without seeming narcissistic and proud. So it is honest without being too self-satisfied, as in too firm in the writer's ideas, yet true to his or her belief. So it is a balancing act. Okay, so that's what you need to kind of do. It demonstrates the learning of its author while distancing itself from the scholarly treatise. We are not writing manuals, we're writing a kind of entertaining works that are related to a subject that the reader has a general interest in. So it's not a how-to book as such. It's more an entertainment, more so than a manual, even though some people might imagine when they buy a book like that they're going to learn an awful lot about the subject and they're going to know how to do it. So, as I said, it demonstrates the learning of the author while distancing itself from the scholarly treatise. So in this case, it promotes the author's knowledge, yet it is not academic. It does not rely on firm expertise on the part of the reader. As I said, it's for a general readership. No prior knowledge of the subject should be required on the reader's part to enjoy non-fiction. Perhaps most importantly, they say, it is a mode of thinking and being, an attempt to test, to make a run at something without knowing whether you are going to succeed. This is kind of like the Wright brothers and trying to fly the airplane type of dynamic, triumph over adversity. There is a sense in the type of creative nonfiction that you are actually taking a risk with something that has kind of been untested and hoping for the best. For example, if you were to write, and it has been done about transatlantic boat trips and that, so it's kind of a very big undertaking, or mountains as well, climbing mountains and that, scaling mountains. So this is an emotion or urge that many people will identify with. Now let's move on to slide five and see, on the other hand, a perspective on writing personally, where an argument is formed. As you can see by this next quote from Bishop, the traditional argument, Bacon prizes clarity, order, conciseness, the qualities that until very recently have dominated our thinking about what a good college essay should be. From a postmodern point of view, Bacon looks hopelessly naive. He wants to condense the world into crystal-hard sentences to say everything there is about a topic in a few pages, but he remains an ideal of succinct argumentative writing. So we're talking about an essay as a non-fiction, and the difference between an academic kind of argument and the argument, as I said earlier, that is more in the public domain, is more suited to a general readership. So an argument is like you can have arguments in the in non-fiction. But this would be kind of more of an essay type, college essay kind of type approach. So what they talk about as an essay as non-fiction, this is where an argument can be teased in a non-fiction piece. In my opinion, an academic argument becomes more soft-edged in non-fiction. In academia, you have to prove a point without opening yourself up to retort. At least that is the idea. Normally achieved by limiting the argument to an extremely narrow focus. Instead of saying, for example, all County Galway people were Catholics in 1910, one might instead argue all people living on Threadneedle Road, Galway, according to the census taken on 28th of November 1910, were Catholic. So you're going to be very, very kind of narrow ranged in terms of what you are actually saying about a certain subject, rather than making generalizations. So that'll be kind of more the academic approach. With a feature article, you're merely treating a subject lightly. There's more of a culture of generalization, and that kind of can be an area of nonfiction where you might still write the first sentence as you have, but you, as I've described it, but modifying it with the majority of Galway residents were Catholic in 1910. So it's not a kind of opening itself up as much to contradiction. In effect, a feature is a short piece of nonfiction, I would say. Now let's move to slide 6, and I just want to briefly turn to travel writing as nonfiction. Travel writing is a genre itself, but broadly does fit into the nonfiction category. This quote is written by an extremely transient person, Michael Minshaw. He spent most of his life travelling, rarely spending more than a year in any one country, and consistently documenting his experiences academic level. But he's not a kind of this is not a kind of TripAdvisor approach. You don't get the best tourist spots in good travel writing. Instead, he argues his writing is an attempt to evoke a place and to show a narrator, i.e. the reader, passing through new settings and experiences. It's almost always told in the first person. They employ a host of fictional devices, dialogue, dramatic scenes, comic incidences. So that's kind of the way travel writing works in this sense. So if you move to slide 7 there, he continues to discuss many famous works of fiction which he likens to travel writing. You may remember some of them from the introduction course, a discussion on the value of travelling as a very, very good approach for writers to feed into their work. And I think this does go to prove again the value of having those foreign experiences, but not from the point of view of a tourist, but from the point of view of living in an area for a period of time. Obviously, that's not too easy to do at the moment. So let's move on now to slide 8. There are some categories of nonfiction, be it an essay for a hobby project, or one which I haven't mentioned so far, a biography of somebody else. That's where you write out the entire life of another person to death if that point has been reached. The project calls for empirical research, an ability to marry information with engaging writing, and legal precautions, of course. Writing a biography also calls on a careful structuring of events in the most readable way possible, while you are also somewhat restricted by chronology. It is unusual for a biography not to be relayed in chronological order. So it can be done stylistically, but it's not very usual. So on slide 9 there, just on the piece of nonfiction that you're reading this week, here's some questions to ask. Is it the work, would you consider it to be an essay, a nonfiction, creative nonfiction piece, as in like for a hobby or that, or travel writing or academic? What is the tone of the piece? How much of the author's views do you detect? Is it engaging? Did you want to keep reading? And is it formal, aloof, or is it more conversational? What part of the excerpt informs your answers to these questions? Now, with slide 11, we're going to be writing about, this exercise is writing your favourite hobby. If you don't have one, try and imagine a hobby that you've always wanted to try out. The questions to consider in this exercise are: how is this activity practiced? What does one need to start? And what else can you say about the hobby? So you do 5 minutes on that, and for the second 5 minutes, make a list of images and other media. If it was, for example, cooking, you'd have recipes that you might include if you were to approach a larger scale nonfiction project. So good luck with that. Now, moving on to slide 11 and talking about our craft area, which is pace this week. And you might say that pace is the same as tone, as we covered last week. What is the difference? So do note that these are simply my definitions others may disagree with. The tone, I would say, is the register of the prose, the way the reader is meant to feel about whatever it is they are reading. The pace is the way the narrative is unfolded. Obviously, the use of pace can affect tone, and choice of tone affects pace. But tonight, let's look at how you can use pace to create your fiction's tone. Pace is a factor in the tone, Very big factor in the tone of your story and the way your book or story comes across. With non-fiction, almost always the tone is pedestrian. What is pedestrian? Pedestrian is walking pace. You're walking the reader through the work. It can be like a guidebook in that sense. You never want your reader to feel lost in non-fiction, whereas fiction itself is much more less restrict. Sorry, is much less restricted. A fast pace is often used, of course, in crime fiction, particularly those with action scenes. Variable, there would be where sci-fi stories have a long built-up series of descriptive chapters, and then a lot of action happens all of a sudden. These are variable pacing methods. So let's move on now to slide 12. So now we have some idea of the types of pace. How do we manipulate the pace of our work? Since the sentence length is a key method, short sentences speed up the reading, longer ones slow it down. However, if you've long sentences with comma breaks, it can also be fast in the sense of a fast stream of consciousness. But if a lot happens in your scene, you might naturally find yourself using shorter sentences. It is the same principle with chapters and paragraphs and even scenes. Short scenes may make the reader move faster through the work, and longer scenes would slow them down. That is, if they don't start skimming, which there's nothing we can do about that. But dialogue then can be short and clipped, which means brief retorts move fast, while long-winded speeches give a slow pace to work, which clearly also affects its tone. So, in slide 13 there, in this week's submission, perhaps you would like to try out some of the different techniques of pace. If appropriate, choose a pedestrian pace, a fast pace, or variable. This week, we are writing a piece of non-fiction in prose. Use the class exercise if you wish. Aim for up to 2,000 words and share it with the peer group. Please also share some verbal comments if you can. Prepare some verbal comments for your prayers work and also on this week's reading. So, on the last slide there, slide 16, if this week the reader w reading will be sent on over the coming days, please try to read the other work by your peers and don't forget to submit your own work. So quite short this week, but hopefully the writing will be taking up most of your time off site of the course, as it were, and look forward to reading it. That's the end of the podcast. Thanks a lot for listening and have a good week's writing.
Produced with Audacity and Martin Keaveney Creative Writing. Music track Dorkborn by Alexander Nakarana, SerpentSoundStudios.com. Please note this recording is for your personal use and should not be shared or published in any way. Martin Keaveney Creative Writing 2020.